This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 291 in the series. This is a special edition. I'm proud to share the audio of a new Franklin public radio show that was broadcast for the first time Sunday morning, June 7, 2020. A minister, a priest, and a rabbi walk into a radio station. This new program is an interview format with Rabbi Tom Alpert from Temple Etz Chaim, Reverend Kathy McAdams from St. John's Episcopal Church, and Reverend Eric Cherry from the First Universalist Society of Franklin. Jay Horrigan and Pandora Carlucci co-facilitate the discussion. Pete Fasciano and Keith Palmieri handle the technical details. The first conversation covers a couple of questions. What's the latest on how your congregation is facing the COVID pandemic? And what are your thoughts on the social and religious response to George Floyd's murder? The recording runs around 28 minutes, so let's listen to this first session of the new show.
I'd like to welcome everybody here. Thank you for joining us on our maiden voyage. I'm joined with my co-host here, Dr. Pandora Carlucci. And Pandora, I'd like to ask you, what would happen if a minister, a priest, and a rabbi walked into a radio station?
I think we'd have a wonderful conversation.
And there you go. Welcome to our first show, a minister, a priest, and a rabbi walk into a radio station. And I'm Jay Horrigan. Pandora Carlucci is my co-host here. And that brings us to our most important people on the show, Rabbi Tom, Reverend Kathy, and Reverend Eric. Folks, how are you today?
Great.
So good awesome. To be with you, folks. Thanks for having us.
Doing very well. Thank you. This is a great idea.
Excellent. Well, it's absolutely our pleasure to have you, mine and Pandora's first effort together. And I want to thank Pandora for being the spearhead on this. If you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and why we are doing and you folks are doing this radio program.
My name is Kathy McAdams. I'm an Episcopal priest and I'm the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Franklin. I've been there for about 2.5 years. Before that, I ran a homeless ministry in Boston, so I've done a lot of different kinds of ministry. In addition to being at St. John's, I'm also a hospice chaplain. St. John's called me there because they wanted my help to become more involved in the community. And when Eric suggested that Tom and I do this together, it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to be out there in the community, at least to be heard. And I hope this will be a beginning to a dialogue and that we can continue conversing with anyone who's interested.
And I think that's all our goal. Thank you very much. Rabbi Tom, how about you?
Hi. So my name's Tom Alpert. I'm a rabbi ordained through the Reform Movement of Judaism. And I have been serving Temple Etz Chaim here in Franklin for the last 8 years. I used to be a lawyer before I became a rabbi. So that's my background.
Yeah.
I'm recovering.
Yes.
But in terms of this program, it's similar to what Kathy was saying. That is to say, when I was speaking with the folks at the temple 8 years ago now, when I started to get, when we decided to make the shidduch, this match, they said to me that it's really important that the temple continue its connection and its presence with interfaith work in the community. It's been very important to them. And I said, well, that's great, because it's also been very important to me throughout my rabbinate, trying to connect up with folks from other faith traditions to learn and teach has been the things that has guided me in my rabbinate. And I'm excited to have a chance to do it here on the radio.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And Reverend Eric.
Thanks so much, Jay. Yeah, I'm Eric Cherry, and I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister serving the First Universalist Society here in Franklin. Previously, I had done some denominational work in the area of international interfaith justice work in two congregations prior to that, starting in the mid-1990s. And why this radio program? Well, I'll tell you. Kathy and Tom are the most wonderful conversation partners that you can imagine. Being with them as we go through any number of conversations has been enlightening for me. I think it can be enlightening for the town, also hopefully kind of fun. And I really like the idea of raising the level of of faith dialogue in our community. I think that's good for everyone. It's certainly good for me. And so I think we have a chance to do a little bit of that together.
That's excellent. Thank you, Reverend Eric. Pandora?
Thank you all for introducing yourselves and giving us sort of a little bit of a window into your lives and your roles in the community. As we start this afternoon's conversation, we're going to kind of ease into it by discussing the current coronavirus pandemic. And I'm wondering if you can give us an idea as to how your respective congregations are facing this. We've been facing it since the middle of March and some sooner.
So St. John's, we've been worshiping online since mid-March, and it's really challenged our technical ability as well as our creativity. We've just had to think about all new ways to do things. I read an article recently that describes this time not as a blizzard where we all just kind of hunker down and then wait for the snow to stop and come out, but that it's actually more the beginning of a winter or even a mini ice age. And this article proposes that every organization is now a startup.
That's wonderful. Kathy, that's a very interesting analogy to the beginning of an ice age or a long winter, because it is different as we all try to envision what that new normal is going to look like. And as our lives change each week. So it does give you something to think of, and it seems to be a long journey. Rabbi Tom, do you want to jump on in next?
Sure. You know, in Jewish tradition, the number seven is a big deal. I mean, you know, 7 days of creation, you get the idea. Then what do you do with the eighth? And the answer is the eighth is the seven, but different. You're starting something different. And that feels to me like what we're having here. I mean, Kathy talked about when they started back. I'm reminded of a comment that Eric made at our services today is Blur's Day. And I don't remember exactly
every
when
it was. Every day is Blur's Day, Tom, right?
Every day is Blur's Day. So, you know, so I don't remember exactly when it was. But I do know that we've been doing services virtually. I hate that term. We've not been doing services virtually. We've been doing services actually, but they're online. So people are real and they're connecting, and we're doing other kinds of activities online, trying to connect people up in all kinds of ways, learning, social, spiritual, all of them. And, you know, and we're probably planning that for the foreseeable future. You know, we've got all kinds of, our high holy days are coming up, and that's a big issue. And you know, I'd be sort of surprised if we did anything other than an online presence. So there's a lot of thinking that needs to be done, but that gets to that point of the eighth. As we start something new, we're going to be doing things different, and we're never, ever, ever going back. You never do, right? But we're especially not going back now. And what that looks like, the version I heard of what Kathy said is when one rabbi was saying, claiming that she was a first-year rabbi, somebody responded, right now we're all first-year rabbis.
I like that. We have the long winter, the eighth day. Reverend Eric, how do you and your congregation envision this?
I just want to say that over 20 years, I don't remember a time when I didn't feel like a first-year minister. So, but it is true. There's something different about what's going on right now. I want to note that last September or so, Rabbi Tom and I made plans to exchange pulpits and to exchange pews as well for Memorial Day weekend. You know, when the virus hit and building closures happened, you know, we had to kind of wonder a little bit if that was a plan that we could continue to pursue. We decided that we would. Frankly, I think that the way that we shared that weekend with the Erev Shabbat service at Tom's Temple online and our Sunday morning service online was really kind of beautiful in its own way, in a way that it might have been if we were in our buildings, but there was a special layer to it, given the fact that it was online. So, you know, I certainly want to say that for all of us, our congregations are not closed. In our case, the church is open. The building is closed because it's dangerous to be there. Generally speaking, although it'll be the board of our congregation that'll ultimately make these decisions, we're basically of the opinion that until there's a vaccine that's widely available to everyone or a treatment that's reliable and doesn't require hospitalization or ventilators, that we're unlikely to be worshiping in person in the building. Part of that is that we're equally committed to being a place of access for all. And until it's accessible to people, regardless of age, of health, then we don't want the services in the building to only be available to a small portion of the congregation. So this could really be for the long haul. And our denominational officials have said, look, congregations, be thinking about May of 2021. That it could be that long, and hopefully it won't be. And believe me, it is hard. You know, people are just desperate to be in person again. That's what I think we're looking at.
Absolutely. And I think it has everybody has their own unique challenges. And I think the way all three of you crystallize kind of what you're trying to do during what's going on, but you were also able to look forward and who knows what's going to happen a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, but at least you all have some plans. I did think, Rabbi, when you said it was whatever it is, Blur's Day or whatever, I heard on the radio yesterday, someone starting their program and it was March 112th because we're all stuck back in March when this all started. Now, I have a topic I think that you folks absolutely want to address, and maybe we'll start with Reverend Eric. Your thoughts, the whole disaster in Minnesota around the death of George Floyd, his murder, what do you think the social and religious response has been or should be? Maybe not just your congregation, but as a whole.
I think like most feeling people, my reaction was tears and weeping. Feeling for those last moments of George Floyd's life and for his family, for his people, for all who loved him. And that was quickly followed by anger. Mm. And over time, a feeling that there's an inward look that that I need to take, that probably most all of us need to take. I think we all realize that what happened in Minnesota on that day, about a week ago. It was only the most recent, at that time, tragedy in a 400-year history of America's original sin of racism. The effects of that original sin have changed in every generation, from enslavement and torture and lynching and Jim Crow to the way that it takes place today. You know, that ranges from the terribly racist incarceration system that exists in our country, to ballot access inequalities that are rampant. Some people have referred to this as the new Jim Crow. And part of it is the horrific cases where police departments use brutal force, murderous force, in terribly inappropriate situations. That's what we need to face socially and religiously, that's all happening.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Eric. Rabbi Tom, I guess the same question to you or some variants of it. I think all our responses to the video is the same. As a matter of fact, I have not watched more than 30 seconds of it because I can't. So just to echo what Eric said, Rabbi Tom, and your thoughts on it.
I wished our first session was going to be something lighter, but this is the world we have been given. Yep. And really, to tell you the truth, if it had been, it would have been another session wasted on a topic that is so central and has always been. All this did was clarify what should have been right at front from the beginning. I've watched the whole video. I made myself watch the whole video. And throughout that, I, you know, was saying to myself, well, what if it was me? And realizing that that is a piece of privilege that I own and that I want everyone to be able to own. And it is wrong that they don't. So I want to pick up on Reverend Eric's point a bit and say one of my great teachers, not a personal teacher, but, you know, people I've always admired and been fond of, was Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, who was a very, very, very good friend of Dr. Martin Luther King's. Rabbi Heschel once talked about how hard it was for him to pray when bad things were happening, because he said, because I know I'm co-responsible. And what he meant by that, and he went and explained it, is that in a free society, some are guilty, all are responsible. We are all responsible for what has happened. We all allowed this to happen. And unless all of us own that, unless I own it, unless everybody owns that we have created a situation where something like this can happen and happen again and again and again. Unless we own that, then it's just going to keep happening. And that's what I got out of this. And that's the mission I have now.
Eloquent. Very well put. Kathy, obviously, the initial protests were related to the murder of Mr. Floyd, but it became a much larger issue. How do you address that, or how do you deal with that globally and also in your church?
Martin Luther King said that a riot is the language of the unheard. While I never condone violence, I certainly understand the sentiment behind it. And, you know, the current occupant of the White House is simply fanning the flames. He went and stood in front of an Episcopal church holding a Bible this week. I was really touched by the words of the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington, Marianne Edgar Buddy. She called Trump's photo op a symbolic misuse of the most sacred text of our tradition. And she said, after speaking so harshly and with militaristic overtones to the nation, he had the park of peaceful protesters cleared with tear gas and officers in riot gear to make a symbolic gesture, holding a Bible as if to spiritually condone a message and a posture that is antithetical to the teachings of Jesus and everything as a church we stand for. To follow on that, as a follower of Jesus, I try to live by what he called the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love neighbor. And that means all of our neighbors, no matter their color, their immigration status, their religion, where they slept last night, or who they love. We are all brothers and sisters, and we're all loved by God. So I was appalled and sickened to watch another Black man murdered at the hands of police, a man who might have committed a $20 nonviolent crime, a man who was already handcuffed and lying face down on the ground, a man who had become unconscious, but still had another man kneeling on his neck. As both of my brothers here have talked about, the larger issue obviously is systemic racism, and people are just fed up. African Americans have had that boot on their necks for 400 years.
Very well said. You know, as this has continued, you can't help but noticing some of the, I don't know what the best word is, but the sideshow, some of the worst stuff to come out of it is kind of the sideshow, if you will, of the violence and destruction that's been going on. Rabbi Tom, what's your response to that? And then also, how do you think that affects, or what does it mean locally for us here in the Franklin area?
Destroying property shouldn't be happening. Dr. King also spoke eloquently about that. It's not what we do. That having been said, it is a sideshow. Kathy said rioting being the language of the unheard. It's got to be remembered. This is about the underlying issue. Look, I'm old enough to remember when Reverend King was assassinated and there was rioting. There should not have been rioting, and there was looting, and there should not have been looting. But my word, this didn't just spring out of nowhere. This sprang out of a sense that here was a prophet who had a chance to move this world and change the lives of Black people, and he was gunned down. And now, again and again and again, the potential that Dr. King spoke of over 50 years ago, that uncashed promissory note remains uncashed. We have not yet done what we need to do. And that, more than anything else, is where we have to focus. The rioting needs to stop. People should be punished appropriately. I'm fine with all of that, but it is really not the main story. And if the more we think it's the main story, the more we have lost our souls. As to Franklin, you know, there was a remarkable get-together last night. We're speaking on Thursday morning, and there were a number of people. I mean, I'm terrible at estimates, but certainly several hundred people on the Franklin Town Common gathered together peacefully, including, I am pleased to say, the police who took a knee for 9 minutes. You know, it's a complex world out there, and you don't want to paint anything with a broad brush. There's a lot of good here, and we need to build on it. I also understand that there were social media posts that were not good. Mm-hmm. And this is not a monolithic town in any way, shape, or form. But there is a right and a wrong. I think we have to keep fighting for the right.
I agree. And I think you brought up perfectly about the uncashed check. I think part of the problem is there are too many people unwilling to cash that check. There's a huge number that are willing, but there's still a vocal large group that are unwilling to do that. Reverend Eric, how do you feel this has impacted your congregation, our town, the area? Because we have seen over the last 3-4 days, this all kind of worked towards our area, with culminated last night with just the great showing at the town common here in Franklin.
More and more people are recognizing that that promissory note was actually a bad check, and that looting has been happening for decades. It's just been hiding under law. And the transfer of wealth to the 1% in our country has been an ongoing crime against the common people, whom I include myself. Nobody talks about that in the same way that they talk about what's happening on the streets right now, and perhaps they should. Also want to note that, you know, while nonviolence is the philosophy that needs to guide any successful movement for social change, there is a long history in our religious traditions of turning over the tables of the money changers. You can call that a riot if you care to. You can also call that a witness or an action. So that's not lost on me either. For the congregation I serve, I think this really becomes a turning point moment. Are we going to do the inner work that perhaps we've delayed? Are we going to make the institutional changes for our own congregation and for our own town to take responsibility for the culture that we expect from institutions of power here based on our faith principles? Or are we not? And last night, it looked to me in a very special way, like people are ready, that there's a 180-degree turn that all of us are being asked to take. It looked to me like a sizable part of our town is ready to do that. I'm so grateful to the people that organized that event. They pulled it together quickly. You know, this wasn't like a long-term project here. They worked amazingly fast and got it such a great response very, very quickly. I think that bodes well for what we can do. But time will tell whether people came out for a special event or if they got turned around. I think for religious leaders in town, we're going to try to make sure that our congregations really got turned around in this important moment.
And I think that's something you three as community leaders, I would also put Pandora in that, because she's involved in so much in the town and so well known, that's huge. And without that level of people buying into it, you're not going to see anything change. And you had said, Eric, about the rioting. Hey, look back to the old Boston Tea Party. That was not a little group of people getting together to have some tea. That was a riot, maybe a different kind, but it was. That's how this country started.
I just want to say that I've been impressed with people from my congregation. As we think about the next book to read for our adult education series, several people have suggested books about racism and white privilege. And I really think that as white people, we have a responsibility to educate ourselves about the sin of racism, that we need to listen to experiences of people of color. We need to go out of our way to interact with people who are different from us and to help our children to do that. We need to advocate for cultural competency in our schools and in our police force and for best practices of community policing and things like that. So I was really happy to hear my congregation thinking about those kinds of things.
Awesome. Rabbi Tom?
As people who ourselves have been victims and are, you know, you think of Pittsburgh just recently, I just know how important it is for community to come together and for us to go and use the things that we have and build on them, to learn the places, the things that we are, that we ourselves benefit from, the kinds of things that Reverend Kathy was talking about, and figure out how to move forward. And we're looking to do that in our congregation. We're starting to talk about how best to start learning about that. I just want to mention just about this moment one more time. You know, a few years ago, I went down to the Martin Luther King Center in Atlanta, and there is a fountain there. And on the fountain are the words of the prophet Micah, and they say, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." It feels to me that we are in a time where there is a flood of power And in that time, justice has to start rolling down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream, or we will drown.
Amen and amen, Rabbi Tom. And I just want to note, as for folks that are thinking about what's the next thing that that I might do, your fellow citizens in Franklin have been joining up with on a page that was recently created called Franklin Residents Confronting Racism. That's a good place to get connected with. Also saw recently that Bryan Stevenson's film, Just Mercy, which describes the new Jim Crow in profound ways, is now available for free on most streaming services. That was in the theaters not more than a few weeks ago. And lastly, that Reverend William Barber's Poor People's Campaign, which is a continuation of Dr. King's last social justice effort before his assassination, is powerful right now. And there's a nationwide effort to ask people of faith and of goodwill to register to participate in a massive march on Washington that will be online for a moral revival in our country, June 20th, 2020. You can search for Poor People's Campaign to register to attend that. It's free and one of the really big events in racial justice this year.
That movie you mentioned, I've actually seen it, and I read last night the article that they're going to be streaming it everywhere for free. It's a tremendous movie. Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx are the stars in it, and they're tremendous. I also, just to add to that, we're all somewhat similar age-wise, seen a lot of this happen over the years, but never the follow-up, the drive to make a change that I think we're seeing now. Do you folks agree with that, or have you seen it internally in your congregations or just out in the community at large? Rabbi Tom.
Am I seeing it now? Yes. What will come of it? That's up to us.
Right, right. It can be hard to see because we're all stuck inside right now. Pandora?
I want to say that I've enjoyed listening to you, your words of wisdom, and I appreciate the lens that you shared, each one of you, so that we could look at what's going on and process it maybe in a different way with a different insight than we might have had. Some of us going all the way back to the 60s have been through many of these horrible incidents, and you try to learn and move forward. And yet here we are today in 2020. I thank you for the time that you have given us. Before we bring this to a close, is there anyone who would like to share a parting thought, a parting prayer?
I just want to say something, and I'll let somebody else do the parting prayer, but I do want to say, in response to that point about age, that one of the most remarkable things yesterday was hearing the high school students. If there is something that really gives you hope for the future, it was their thoughtfulness and their passion. It feels to me like any community that has raised up those high school students is doing a pretty good job.
They are going through this, thinking all this and trying to bring about change in the middle of a pandemic. A lot of these kids are seniors, not even able to go through a normal graduation. I think that's a great point, Rabbi Tom.
Absolutely.
I don't know about all of you, but I've been 27 for more than a couple decades now. That helps a little bit. Let's join our hearts and minds together in a time of prayer and reflection here as we close from wherever you are today, on Zoom or in your car or at home. May the blessings of the eternal be present to you. May your heart be filled with the spirit of love and hope that guides our world. And may the vision of a world made fair, all her people one, be in our hearts and minds today and in all the days to come. May that be our blessing. Amen.
In closing, we'd like to thank Rabbi Tom, Reverend Kathy, and Reverend Eric for sharing their thoughts, their knowledge, and giving us a lens on this difficult situation. We also thank Keith Palmieri. He's our radio technician, and he's going to make all of this come together so we can share it with the world. And hopefully, we look forward to more conversations with a minister, a priest, and a rabbi on the radio.